Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Dr. Foster, Lifetime's new miniseries of a woman who believes her husband is in affair mode, reaches the halfway mark Sunday night. Our guest provides the music for this affair, and before that, the Emmy-nominated The Killing. Franz Bopp joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Denmark. Also ahead, three series move on, Peabody 75, and the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Thank you all for joining us on this U.S. Tax Day 2016. We're happy to have you here from New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour. It's our third of three episodes this week of the program all about television. Wonderful guests coming your way from overseas this half hour. We invite you to be part of the program. All you have to do, give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're shy about the phone, that's no problem with us because we got a chat room for you at blogtalkradio.com. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, so either way you communicate, we do hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on the Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. So there's no quickies before we get to our guest. Fear of the Walking Dead is set for a third season on AMC. 15 episodes will debut in 2017. Bill Miller's animated Netflix comedy, F is for Family, will come back for season 2 next year. And Food Network will extend the first season of new Thursday night competition, Cooks vs. Cons, hosted by chef Jeffrey Zakarian. KCAST Media has restarted production here in New York, and new episodes, Beyond the Six now running on Food Network, will appear this summer. And that's news notes for today. It's been our pleasure over the last couple of years in this program to bring you some of the top composers writing for popular TV shows. And our latest addition to that gallery joins us live from Denmark. He is one of the few TV composers to do a series from overseas that's been adapted here in the United States. The series overseas, the acclaimed 40 Binden. The series here, the Emmy-nominated The Killing. Joining us live from Denmark, Franz Bopp. Franz, it's great to have you with us. Welcome in.
Well, thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So your new assignment is Dr. Foster, which is now running on Lifetime Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. How did you get the gig?
Well, to be honest, I don't actually know how I get gigs. You know, somebody calls me, and I imagine, you know, the Danish version of The Killing was a great success all over Europe, and we had a new version in the U.S. too. So I could imagine they heard some of my music from The Killing, and then they thought, well, this might suit this show too.
Now, this program is not as bleak or not as gray as The Killing or 40 Binden was. We'll talk more about what you did for both series in a moment.
Yeah.
But
how did you
see the assignment for Dr. Foster, this story, more of a personal story, about a woman who's going through this crisis of wondering, is my husband great with me, or is my husband seeing someone else?
Yeah, exactly. We had a big discussion about what to do with this, because what was she capable of doing? So what should the music tell? Is she actually capable of? I don't want to make any spoilers, but what is she capable of doing, and what is she not capable of doing? The music can tell a lot of those feelings. So we tried a lot of different things to find the right path on this.
Mm-hmm. When you take on something like Dr. Foster, how much conversation do you have with the producers, the writers, the directors of a program like that before you set your music to score?
I started very early on this show, and I went to London. This is made in London. I went to London and put up my mobile studio, and we worked there together with the editor and together with the director on the first episodes. So we spent a lot of time in figuring out what the right music should be. You know, it's not a straight thriller. It's not a straight romantic drama. It's like a new genre in its way. So we had to try out to find the right path to do this. So we spent a lot of time in talking on that.
And so what did you come up with in terms of the style of the score, the tone of the score, the mood?
Oh, I don't know. You can watch it and see and hear what I came up with. I think we found something very good, but we wanted to tell about Gemma that she was actually you had to believe that she could do things that not good things. We had to believe that. So it was there was thriller elements in it as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. How much music did you write for this miniseries, and how much was actually used? Because you sometimes have situations where you write a lot, and a lot of it is used, the majority is used, and then you have situations where you write a lot, and it ends up because of the whim of the producer, the director, the writer, the production company, far less is used.
There was a lot of cues. I wrote something. We want something different. Because the opening cue where she drives around in the car in the city, and we meet a lot of people. We didn't actually know what the style of the show was, so we tried many things. So to be honest, I've done a lot of music. I don't know how much actually, but I've done a lot of cues until we found the right cue. And sometimes they also use some source cues that I decided on later on after I made some music. It's difficult. It wasn't a straight out thriller, so we had to try a lot of things to find the right path on this.
Mm-hmm. How big was your orchestra? How big was your the group of players you had performing your score?
I used 31 strings. There was a small string section for a lot of themes, and then I played a lot of things myself and did a lot of. I think I almost did the resting on the computer and on the grand piano. That was how I worked.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you like to do? Is in this day and age where a lot of TV music is done on a synthesizer or done on computer, that you like using the piano or the violins or the classical the classical instrument sound?
Yeah, I've been working in many genres, but after I did the Danish version of The Killing, which was almost only computers, it was a very electronic score actually. So I get called for doing that for a lot of series. So I've been doing a lot of computer things, but I really like to incorporate acoustic instruments, a string section or whatever. That's very nice. I really like that. I've done both, and I also have done music with only symphony orchestra. So I'm working a lot of genres.
You can hear and watch the latest work of TV composer and film composer Franz Bach on Dr. Foster. It's Lifetime's new miniseries, 3 2-hour episodes. The second episode is this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And Franz joins us live from Denmark this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you from the other side of the Atlantic, New York. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon. You have a question or comment for Franz, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or you have a chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, get 633 already in the room. This Tuesday, the CW premieres its latest program. It's called Containment. It's about a city that gets quarantined beyond extremes. We've got two of the key executive producers behind that program, Matt Corman and Chris Ord. They last worked together on the USA series with Piper Parabo, Covered Affairs. And they're with us Monday right here on Tamavi Televised at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Matt Corman and Chris Ord from Containment, the new CW series that premieres Tuesday night. They'll be right here Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As you mentioned, Franz, you were involved with both the Danish, the original Danish series, 40 Binden, and then the U.S. series. And that is a very unusual triumph for any composer, particularly one that is based overseas, where you get the opportunity to do both series. First of all, how did you get the opportunity way back when to do 40 Binden?
I think they liked when they thought of the idea of making a U.S. version of the Danish version of The Killing. They liked the whole feel of the series, and the music is a big part of that series. And so they liked what I was doing. But and then I was called to do an audition with, I think, four or five other composers. And they all tried to copy my music because, that's what they liked. So I was good at copying myself. I think that was the reason why they chose me.
And what attracted you to do 40 Binden in the first place? What about the storyline? What about the environment of the series said, this is something I want to do?
Oh, I think it's a great story about Sarah Linden, the Danish Sarah Lund, that's her Danish name. It's a great story to follow her and whatever she's doing and follow all the people. It was very, very challenging. And it was fun to also to do the American version and suddenly try to work with music editors. That was the first time I met the music editor. I didn't know it actually exists, to be honest. So there was a lot of professional, skilled people I met in Los Angeles I really enjoyed working with.
How different is it when you are like a Jan Hammer or a Stuart Copeland, who also do a lot of original music by themselves, and then you have to work with a music editor, work with musicians, and work with a producer like Venus Sood, who came up with the idea to adapt 40 Vinon into The Killing?
Yeah. Oh, what was the question? I've been working as a film composer for the last for many, many years, so I know how to deal with this. But it's of course it's very. I think the music editors I work with was very. They work with my music in a very good way. They never tried to come up with their own stuffs. And Venus Sood was thrilled to work with. Also, she knew exactly what she wanted, and I could even push her sometimes in other directions. And the music directors helped me a lot.
What did Vina want? Did she want you to do, hey, Franz, do exactly what you did in 40 Vinon, I want exactly that, or did she give you some ideas or some direction in terms of expanding what you did in 40 Vinon and bring that to her program, to bring that to The Killing?
Well, to be honest, she really liked the Danish version. So in the beginning, she wanted the themes, a lot of themes from the Danish version, and then I had to, you know, I re-recorded them and made new versions of them. But then, you know, when the story evolved, the music also evolves. So a lot of things came on already on the first episode as well. But, you know, we made four seasons, and in the last season, a lot of new music came there. So the music is very, very different where we ended up in the American as where we started in the Danish. It's almost not the same music.
Mm-hmm. How did it start and how did it finish?
Oh, it became very dark and very eerie and very like in the it's very, you know, I don't know, you know, there was I don't know, you know, it's just in another direction. It's hard to explain, like, but it took other turns. But, you know, we had new stories to tell in the American version. For example, in the American version, I don't remember, was that the second season, I think, that we came out, and there were Indians. You know, that's from up north in Denmark, we don't have many Indians. So, and I just, you know, see cowboy movies when I was a kid, so actually now we had Indians and could do some music for Indians. That was fantastic.
Hmm. Patty Jenkins, the brilliant director of Mother, the film that Charisse Theron won the Oscar for Best Actress years ago, did the opening episode, came back for other ones, won Emmy nominations for that opening episode. And one of the things I remember was the montage near the end of the first episode where your music is playing, they pull the car out of the lake in slow motion, and then you see, without anyone speaking, the impact of learning about what happened on the father, on the mother, on other people, on the police person, beautifully by Michelle Reynos, and it had that, and you brought, it was like your music was like the glue that brought all of that montage, all of that impact home.
Yeah, that's a very iconic scene, this one. This is almost a copy of the, it is very, very close to the same scene in the Danish. You know, the story, the American version evolved and became something totally different. But at the first episode, the pilot, that was very close to the Danish version. So this scene is also in the American version, the Danish version. And we actually use the same musical themes, but we use them so differently. Because in the American version, we emphasize, you know, when you see actually the body in the trunk, that's what we we put the bam on the body. But in the Danish version, we didn't see the body. We just saw a foot, and then we saw the father and his grief, and then we emphasized that thing. So that was a different way of working in Denmark and in the U.S. And actually, crazy enough, I did the same show in Turkey, and then we had that scene also. So I've done that scene three times.
How much do you see the performance or the actual film before you get to work? For example, in The Killing, that performance by Morel Enos, the performance by Brennan Sexton, who plays the father, the performance by Michelle Forbes, who plays the mother, just tremendous performances. And Morel Enos, who is this really incredible person when you see her in person, and I did during the run of The Killing, in New York, but she plays this very plain detective in the Northwest. She doesn't think of herself as beautiful. She thinks of herself, you know, and she's trying to raise her son and work on this very plotting case with her partner. I'm wondering, when you see a performance like that, how much does that impact the kind of music you make?
Oh, that a lot, you know. I mean, a lot of music you cannot play for a character like that. So, the way she plays is very, very, very important for the music. And so it's her story, we're following the whole series. So that's very, very important. And I think she did a great job. In the second episode, we had actually the Danish actor coming for a cameo. That was so funny. I was scoring it. Oh, my God. Who's coming there? So now I had the two Sarah Lindons on the same scene.
The Killing, of course, was a series that we didn't know whether it was going to go on or not after season two, because AMC, by the skin of their teeth, renewed it for season three, and then Netflix, by the skin of their teeth, renewed it for the final season, season four. Was there any doubt in your mind that it would reach some sort of natural conclusion, that you would be able to see the project through the end?
No, I didn't. I didn't think about that. No, this was new to me to work here, and you know, you can cancel a show after a season. You don't think about it. Does the story actually finish? So, but I'm happy it did. I liked the fourth season a lot.
Mm-hmm. By the way, with 40 Bindon, I wonder if at the end of the first season there was any local furor in Denmark about the fact that they didn't know who killed the victim. Here in the United States, The Killing, there was a furor at the end of the first season because people were saying they didn't know about it. And by the way, I think part of that was not really the fault of the producers or the production. Part of it was AMC promoted the series as if we were going to learn who killed Rosie Larson at the end of that season, which was not the case, and that was not intended to be the case. But because the show was promoted, that's led to the, oh, I'm disappointed, why do they do this, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the Danish version, we did 20 episodes in the first season, so we finished the story, and that's why, I think we did 13 episodes in each the first two seasons. And the 13 episodes, like, it was 45 minutes plus commercials. In Danish, it was 20 episodes of 1 hour. So, the story took a longer time to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have that problem in Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Franz Bach, he is the man who wrote the original music for both 40 Bindon and its adaptation here in the U.S. via AMC and Netflix, The Killing. His latest work for television is Dr. Foster, the new Lifetime miniseries that reaches the halfway point this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Franz joining us live from Denmark this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, Internet Radio exclusive about the world of the tube. Happy to have you with us. Simon Applebaum live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Franz, don't be shy. Make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, get 659, is in the room. And coming up a week from Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the co-creators, the co-stars, and the co-executive producers of a new series that will be premiering at the end of the month on smart TVs and smart TV sets. It's called The Gems, and it's the first production from the new production company formed by the organizers of the New York Television Festival. It's all about life, funny life, and then some, at a Chicago radio station. We'll talk to Dave Tazra and Chris Petlak from The Jams. That's a week from Monday, April 25th, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And here in the New York area, next Monday on BK Live, the daily talk show all about Brooklyn and beyond, one of my guests will be the executive director of the Writers Guild of America East, Lowell Peterson. We'll talk about a bill now in the state legislature that would amend the major tax credits in this way. If you want to produce a new TV series here in New York, that's New York City and New York State, you better be diverse in who you have behind the camera. Lovell Peterson, the Executive Director of the Writers Guild of America East. He's one of the guests, and he's my guest on CK Live. The next Monday between noon and 1 on CREC TV. The show will be carried on YouTube later that day or the day after. So, Franz, what TV work are you working on right now?
Well, actually, right now, I just finished, it's not a TV work, it's a feature film in Denmark, and I'm right now helping some friends at a circus making music. And then I just made a new album with a new music called Sound of North, which is going to be released on an album, Mercury Classics. So I'm very excited about that. I have a new concert coming up in April. So this is my new thing, too. I will play more concerts as well and make more albums with Sound of North, while I still do TV works, of course.
Have you been approached to do any TV work lately? Any shows, whether where you are or where we are here in the United States, that you're looking for maybe doing?
Yeah, look, I've been approached for many things, but what actually is going to end up, I don't know, and Dr. Foster has to be a second season, and I hope to do that one, and I have a show in France that just called me, and something in Sweden, so a lot of things are going on right now, but what's actually going to end up with my next TV job, I don't know right now.
Incidentally, Dr. Foster is up for a BAFTA award, that is the British version of the Emmys, and we just learned before going on the air that one of the stars of Dr. Foster is going to be seen in a new series called 13, which I believe has already appeared in Britain, and BBC America will be launching that series in June after the season finale of Open Black, which, of course, is one of the most popular showgames with the wonderful Tatiana Maslany. By the way, Graham Norton, John Fawcett, the producers of that show, were on our program 2 years ago. It was a lot of fun with them. And they won the Peabody Award for Orphan Black, and I understand the fourth season is doing very, very well off the bat. Franz, who are your inspirations in the world of music, whether TV or film? Who are the composers that you enjoy, you emulate, that inspire you?
I don't know. I'm getting inspired of people trying to go new paths. I'm inspired by Cliff Martinez, for example. He's his work on The Nick, where he takes a period drama and does something else with it. You know, every time that's inspiring. Is that something you could do with? And the composer, the Icelandic composer Ólafur Arnalds, on his work on the British series Broadchurch, also interesting. I think there's a lot of new music coming up right now. But it's always interesting to see people trying to do new paths, not just copying the old masters.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, yesterday, on a special edition of our program, we had Laj Kerrigan, who is the co-creator and executive producer of The Girlfriend Experience, who worked on The Killing as a director. He mentioned a great time with that program. Girlfriend Experience is doing very well, getting wonderful reviews. Riley Keough is considered by many reviewers, whether they like the show or not, one of the breakout TV stars of the year, following her work in Mad Max Fury Road last year, one of the Oscar winners. On The Killing or on Dr. Forces, do directors come down and work with you on the score? Do they give you suggestions at all?
Who? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Individual episodes, do they have a chance to work with you?
Not on The Killing. No directors. I talk with Vina Sutt, and I talk with the producers and the editors. But in Europe, sometimes it's different. You know, the directors are much more involved. And in the Dr. Foster, the director Tom Vaughan was. I talked a lot with him. Him and the editor Tom Hemmings, we have worked a lot together. So in Europe, I talk a lot with the directors and not so much with the producers. But it seems like in America, it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm. What do you like doing better? Do you like doing a score where it's all on the synthesizer, it's all on the computer, or do you like it when you can mix it up, computer and orchestra, or just playing all orchestra?
Yeah, I mean, that's not an issue for me. The issue is how do you tell the story the best way, and whatever makes the story come out is the best thing for me. You know, I've been working in so many, for many of my shows, it's like a symphony orchestra mixed with some electronic things, and that's what I usually do. But I'd love to do other things as well. Whatever tells the story is the most important thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Franz, in this era of so many scripted TV shows that are doing so well, that of all different shapes and sizes. Is there any show where you are or where we are that if they called you, like in 10 seconds, you would say, put me on. I want to be on your show.
Wow. Yeah. It's always, it's always interesting if it's a challenge in it. I like a challenge, if we somewhere, if I can see a challenge, I'm in.
You got it. And on that note, that is the final note. Dr. Foster,
great.
Halfway episode coming your way Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Check your local listings to where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you can go to www.mylifetime.com. That's www.mylifetime.com. And I do believe that Netflix, which ran the final season of The Killing, still is running The Killing where they are, Netflix.com. So check it out if you can. But once again, Dr. Foster, this Sunday, next Sunday, 9 p.m. Pacific Time on Lifetime. Franz Bach, the composer of Dr. Foster, The Killing, 40 Minutes, many other things too, films as well, and other things too. Thank you again for joining us live from Denmark, where it has to be something like 9, 10 o'clock your time. Enjoy your music on The Killing. Great work on that series, and much, much, much great success to you in what's ahead.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Franz. Anytime. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Franz Bach joining us live from Denmark. Next morning, Televised coming your way, but first in words from Audible.com. If you are a fan of television music or film music, and I am a big buff, love hearing music when I watch TV shows. Well, you can catch the finest of both idioms, TV and film, anytime through Audible.com. And here's why. Film and TV music collections are among the more than 180,000 titles you can choose from at any time. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. The best thing is, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. Like I said, there's hundreds of wonderful selections of great music, TV, film, and otherwise. And if you love TV shows from Down Abbey to Charlie Rose, you'll find it all and then some at audible.com. And the customer service, given Audible is an Amazon company, top of the line. So check it out right now. Go to audibletrial.com/televised, get that free audiobook, the one-month trial, and be on your way. Audible.com, music, audio, great entertainment that informs, inspires, and entertains. Only from audible.com. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. I'm sorry to say, we did not get an answer. So unfortunately, nobody gets Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the acclaimed first novel by the wonderful TV writer-producer John Wilder. Our question, who played Patty Duke's mother on The Patty Duke Show? The answer, Jean Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. She was side-by-side with the great actor William Schroeder, who played Duke's father on that series. So once again, Jean Byron was the answer to this week's classic trivia question. She played the mom here in New York on The Patty Duke Show. We'll try again to get another classic trivia question winner going. We'll do it on Monday's episode. If you know the answer when we pose the question, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your mailing address when you participate. Don't forget, you can also use Twitter to get your answer in. Use this hashtag, TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. The Twitter option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. And find out how at Hopscotch.com. So once again, Classic Trivia Question of the Week comes back at you with a new question on Monday. Use email, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Use Twitter, that's TWBT through Hopscotch, and be first in to win. If you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. I posted Tuesdays on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, you got to be in it to win it. So go for it, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the tune. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on your home for great internet radio, Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you'd like to catch up on recent episodes, like our episode yesterday with Lodge Kerrigan from The Girlfriend Experience on Starz and Margie Moreno, the head of programming, production, and development at NBC Universal's new series El Vato premieres on Sunday. Go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised, and you can find and use it anytime you like. Remember, we have a podcast version of the show, and that is available at iTunes.com and also on the brand new iTunes podcast app available through Apple TV 2.0. So if you have that wonderful device, you can get us and hear us and watch us at the same time. Just go to iTunes podcast, click on Blog Talk Radio, click on our show, and you can hear and watch it anytime you like. That's the iTunes podcast app available only at Apple TV 2.0. Get that from your Apple store near you or online. When we come back, some thoughts about the 75th anniversary of the Peabody Awards and the unique way those awards are being done this year. We'll have that for you after we have this for you. A pause for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio in the universe. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for life without limits. Explore what you can do and you can be with your host, Yogi Robin. That's every week, Life Without Limits, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember that the BTR is available through you at YouTube.com. 24/7. Welcome back to the Marvin Talk Live. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. There we go, a little bit. Got the tongue untied and the lips too. On this tax day of 2015. And before we go, we have an observation. This is the 20th anniversary of one of the great awards in the world of media. Some call it the Pulitzer Prize. I'm talking about the Peabody Awards. It's the awards for the best of the best in television, in radio, online, and much, much more. Well, because of the explosion of original programming on television, scripted television, Peabody 75 has decided to go a new course. Normally, they announce all the winners at once, 30 to 35. And any additional individual achievement awards. This year, by the way, the individual achievements go to David Letterman and a special one to The Daily Show under its run with Jon Stewart. But this year, the Peabody decided, okay, we get there is so much great television out there, we can't get it all in as awardees. So let's do a new thing. Let's have 60 finalists, and then we'll cut them in half, and we'll award 30. Well, the 60 finalists came out early this week, and let me tell you, the television contenders are many, and they're all great. Let me give them to you. All In with Chris Hayes on MSNBC, Netflix's first original movie, Beast of No Nation, Blackish, The Book of Negroes on BET, Catastrophe on Amazon, Deutschland 83, the international miniseries from Germany that appeared here in the U.S. on Sundance TV, Fargo from FX, Fresh Off the Boat, along with Blackish from ABC, Gravity Falls on Disney Channel, Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix, another Netflix series, Master of None, Mr. Robot in USA, The Jinx on HBO, The Leftovers, another HBO series, Transparent, more from Amazon, Unreal on Lifetime, Beat on HBO, Wild Caught, PBS cartoon series, and the PBS masterpiece series, Wolf Hall from England. That's a lot of television to consider. And let me tell you, the judges from the Peabody's is a panel, a peer panel that puts it all together. They will have their hands filled determining which of those 60 will be the 30 winners. We will find out starting this week, over the next few weeks, and then the awards will take place on May 21st at Cipriani Wall Street. Beautiful location. This year, a Saturday night lineup, and it will be hosted by Keegan-Michael Key of Key and Peele. As always, the Peabody's are great when it comes to choosing television. And it's wonderful that most years they also recognize the underdogs of television, the shows that don't get a lot of attention, although they do get the critical acclaim. And from time to time, the Peabody's bypass shows that you would think on the face of it would be slam dunks for their award. In 1960, The Twilight Zone and Star Trek. And over a decade ago, a show on Lifetime that was one of the best showcases of dealing with racism than there ever has been on television, the prize-winning Any Day Now, with that wonderful pairing of Lorraine Toussaint and Annie Potts as childhood friends growing up in the 1960s civil rights era who continue to be friends in their adult lives. I thought that show should have been a slam dunk for the Peabody's. Never did. Well, unfortunately this year, there's another series that deserved to be in that bunch. American Crime on ABC, the brilliantly put together series by John Ridley, the Oscar winner for writing 12 Years a Slave. What American Crime did last year and even more this year was to really shed the light on how we see ourselves how we relate to each other, and how we're being with each other. It also was a breakthrough behind the scenes in diversity. Up and down the line, people of color, women of color, writing, producing, directing, serving as director of photography, editors, every which way you could do to produce a television series. And one would have thought this show had to be in the Peabody contention. It was not. I am shocked that it wasn't. I hope next year it will be, given what happened in the second season. It would have been nice if the Peabody's recognized American Crime, because it is fighting for its life right now. We should know in the next month whether American Crime will be up for a third season. If it isn't, no harm done. The show did run 2 years, and John Ridley and crew can be very proud of what they put together. And I do hope that next year the Peabody's will rectify this, what I think is an unfortunate error, and they will put American Crime right at the top of the list of who should be winning next year. In the meantime, good luck to all the candidates for this year's Peabody Awards. Once again, the first set of winners will be announced next week. Then there will be others that will be announced over the next few weeks. And then again, the awards will be presented here in New York on May 21st, Saturday night ceremony. And a 90-minute special on the ceremony and the winners will be running in June, again this year, on Pivot, run by Participant Media. Again, congrats to the Peabody's for year 75 and what they have done through the Grady School of Journalism and the University of Georgia, and congrats again to all of the finalists and to the Peabody judges. You got your work cut out for you. You got 60 great contenders. Good luck. Whoever you pick, I'm sure, will be a winner. And that will do it for Tomorrow Be Televised this week. Three wonderful episodes for you. Hope you enjoyed them, and hope that if you didn't catch them live earlier in the week, that you did before today's program. Remember, coming up on Monday's episode, we will have the executive producers behind Containment, the new CW drama that premieres on Tuesday night. That's Matt Corman and Chris Ord. They have worked together before on the popular series Covert Affairs at USA Network, starring Piper Perabo. Matt Corman and Chris Ord from Containment, next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And the following Monday, among our guests, Jim Katra and Chris Petlak, co-creators, co-stars, co-executive producers of the first work from the New York Television Festival's own production company, The Jam, Funny Life, at a Chicago radio station. The series is currently running on iTunes, but at the end of the month, it will be running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So that's coming your way. Other things, too, over the course of the rest of the month, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, if you came in on today's episode late, and if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it so easy for you. Go to our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version. It is always available at iTunes.com. And like this weekend, you can download your smartphone tablet. Take us on the go anytime you like. Great way to spend the weekend or any weekend. Great way to wrap up your tax day with us, too. Spread the word to others. So remember, it's iTunes.com. Look for us under the Blog Talk Radio section with Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And again, for those of you in the New York area, I'll be joining you live on BK Live. It's the daily talk show on BRIC TV. My guest will be the executive director of the Writers Guild of America East, Lowell Peterson. Among other things, we will discuss the new bill in the New York State Legislature amending the Made in New York tax credit, which would say to people who want to produce new TV series in New York, if you're going to do it, you've got to have a diverse crew, including writers, producers, and directors. We'll see where that bill is going, and we'll find out what else the WGA is doing to try to expand diversity on television overall. Lowell Peterson, Executive Director of the Writers Guild of America East, exclusive interview right here Monday on BK Live. If you're in the New York area, check us out live on Verizon Fios all over NYC, in Brooklyn on Time Warner Cable, Cablevision Systems, and RCN, and the show and the segment will be posted later on Monday or first thing Tuesday at youtube.com/BRICTV. That's youtube.com/BRICTV. You can also get the program live streamed at BrickArtsMedia.org. That's BrickArtsMedia.org. Well, we had a great time with this week of shows. Hope you did too. And I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our guests this week? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Well, I don't know unless you tell us. So please do email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Remember, you can use that email address to participate every week in our classic trivia question. Who knows? You first with the correct answer, you can win. So remember, when you write, include your name and where you're from, and that will help us out a lot. Also, we do a regular feature here called Show to Know. Is there a TV series or project or network you like that you think doesn't get enough attention? Well, if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. So fire away. Let me know. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me 24/7 on Facebook and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate, we appreciate that you do. Why? Because what you say matters. Absolutely. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy DeMexico and Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information. Remember, you can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televise. Audible.com is an Amazon company. But tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your tax day. Make sure you get those taxes in on time. And we hope you have a wonderful weekend, too. We'll catch you if in the New York area, live on BK Live, noon to 1 o'clock on BRIC TV. And right back here at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, for our next Tomorrow We Televise edition with the folks from Containment on the CW, Matt Corman and Chris Ford. Remember, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.